Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today, actually from Portland, Oregon. I'm visiting some friends here, and the signal is being transmitted by Skype to the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. I just returned late last night from a fantastic trip to Mount Shasta, where all these miracle healings occurred. One lady who had Lyme disease for the last 20 years was completely healed of her illness. Another fellow who was blinded by a bullet wound, unfortunately, in his head. Adama and the people of Telos are now restoring his eyesight. I have so much to tell you. That'll be during the first part of the second hour, so please stay tuned for that part. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular in the Seattle area, with over a quarter million listeners in over 90 countries, and I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. Today, from now through 3 o'clock Pacific time, I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks from England, and then from 3 to 3:30, I'll be talking about this wonderful spiritual trip that I just returned from at Mount Shasta, California. Then from 3:30 to 4, I'll be interviewing Lori McDonald. She's a famous hypnotherapist located in Sacramento, California, who has dealt many times with reptilians and also with stress, self-esteem, emotional traumas, and as well as abductions. And I know you'll find her interview fascinating. I'd like to thank Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their beautiful support. And I also want to thank them so much for their recent generous contribution for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. The Hopi Indians do not have a functioning library on the reservation. And so I'm helping them get some funds together and also books for their library. If you'd like to contribute monies, computers, or books for their library, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I want to thank everyone who's contributed books. I'm getting a lot of book contributions in recently, and I thank them so much for sending those books. Also, I want to thank the Yelm Washington Library for their donation of 200 children's books for the Hopis, as well as Courtney at the Mount Shasta Library for her wonderful contribution. I'd also like to thank my wonderful friends, Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. If you'd like to advertise on the show, you'll have a worldwide audience. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website and provides wonderful support. My friends in the Galactic Alliance, as well as the Pleiadians, who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, Eric at KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Briefly, tomorrow on Saturday, September 14th, I'll be hosting my own Galactic Wisdom Fair at 9101 Silicon Road in Olympia, Washington. It's off of exit 114 or 111. On Interstate 5 Freeway. It's free, and I myself will be giving readings along with crystal sellers and other wonderful spiritual people. Also, there's room for vendors. If you'd like to come, please send me please call me at 509-750-9793 or email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In addition, I'll be giving a presentation on my friends Tom Palladino's wonderful scalar energy healing program. For those who come tomorrow to my event, Tom will be giving a free 30-day trial of his wonderful scalar energy healing program. So I hope you can come. I've also been continuing my efforts to raise funds for clean water for both the Hopi and Navajo Indians in Arizona. For only $125, a new clean water filter can be purchased for either the Hopi or the Navajo so they can have clean water without arsenic or radiation. The manufacturer of these water units is donating these units at their cost, and all 100% of all monies donated will go directly toward clean water efforts. If you'd like to donate, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150 at gmail.com. Finally, I wanted to ask everyone today to please say prayers for the Amazon, which is burning up. The Amazon produces 20% of the world's oxygen, and I know that if we all send lots of love and light to the Amazon, we will be able to stop these fires. I also urge you to ask our brothers and sisters in the Galactic Alliance and the Pleiadians as well to help stop these fires. There are now over 2 million Pleiadian ships now circling the planet to help us in the ascension, and I know they'd love to help us if we just ask. Eric, I'd like to play El Condor Pasa now for 1 or 2 minutes for my next announcement. I wanted to tell everyone with that little segment, I'm going back to Peru in January of this coming year, from January 23rd through February 7th, 2020. I'll be visiting Machu Picchu as well as the Nazca Lines, Paracas, which has a museum of hybrid human and extraterrestrial skulls, and meeting local Inca shaman. The cost is only $497. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Airfare and accommodations are extra, but recently there's been airfare specials going out of Vancouver, Canada, for example, all the way down to Lima for only $216 U.S. dollars for a round-trip ticket from there down to Peru. So it's a good time to go. If you can't make the January-February trip, I'll be going a second time again from May 17th through June 4th. People have already been registering already. So if you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, my friend Simon's on the line, and I'd love to bring him on. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hi, Ted. I'm really good. I'm very pleased to be back with you again.
Oh, good. Oh, good. And again, I know we're a week late, but happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I don't feel much older.
Really? Okay, that's good. That's a good sign. That's good. That's good. Well, it's funny because when I got your email about being on the show today and you couldn't come on last week because of your birthday, I said, oh, Friday the 13th, this is a lucky day for you. So I'm glad you could come on.
Well, I just went away for a day. So I wasn't around. So it wasn't that I was, not wanting to talk. It was just literally I couldn't have got to an internet site.
Oh, that's okay. No, it's good to take time off. I should do that myself every 5 or 10 years. Take a day off. That would be good for me. I think so. Anyway, my goodness, Simon, there's all kinds of things going on, isn't there? I've got all kinds of topics laid out here, as well as questions from my listeners. So, but is there anything you like particular to start off today's show today?
Just saying it's still my intention to come to the States either the very end of this year or the beginning of next year. So that's still very much on the cards. So I look forward to trying to meet as many people, you know, as I can when I get there. In terms of the news, it's quite interesting, isn't it, that we know that the Supreme Court some time ago authorized the money for the Trump fence between the US and Mexico. And just recently, of course, the Pentagon has scaled back a lot of its projects and released money. So now I think it's just about the $6 billion mark. So in other words, now President Trump has got all the money he needs to not just start building, but to complete it. So, you know, whatever happens in the election in November of next year, that fence is going to be built, because between the Pentagon and the High Court, the Supreme Court, I think, you know, the money's been put there. And that's a very important point, because it was one of the key campaigning points that Trump had all those years ago, now it seems.
Right, right. Well, I don't know. I think if you cannot control your borders, you really don't have much of a country. But it's going to be interesting. And I think you're right. I think he's going to probably finish it in time for the, irregardless of what happens in the elections. Yeah. And I think most people support his decision as well. So it's going to be interesting. Recently, as you noted on your website, John Bolton, the U.S. National Security Advisor, was sacked by the president. He apparently got in some arguments with President Trump, and now he's lost his job.
I think the problem is, you see, that it is the hottest job in the White House, the National Security Advisor. I mean, this is the third one that's been fired. Mm-hmm. But it's not because President Trump is crazy. It's because it's the hardest job. Now, the insiders at the White House have been saying the problem with Bolton was that he wasn't really communicating with the president. A number of insiders have said that basically he would just go off into one of the side rooms and do something and forget to tell the president what he was doing. And then when the president found out, there would be a bit of an argument. And I put on my website, and I put the exclamation marks, one argument too many. So it's of no surprise to anybody who's in the know that he's been fired. The problem is that it is the hottest job, and you really need somebody, a very special talent, to be able to hang on to that job. So I'm not surprised, but it's not because Trump's done anything wrong. It's simply because Bolton decided he'd play the game himself. And you can't do that because an advisor is there to advise.
Right.
The president or the boss, whoever it is there to make the decision. So, as an advisor, you give advice. If your employer doesn't want to hear that advice, you've done your job. What right. Bolton was doing was getting into an argument, and that's not what he was paid for. So I think it's good that he's gone, and we'll see where we go from here.
Sure. You have to have people you rely upon. I remember during the John F. Kennedy administration, I can't remember whether it was Dean Rusk or Alan Dulles, but the chief negotiator with the North Vietnamese in Paris back in early 1963 changed some key wording that John F. Kennedy had written for the negotiators in Paris to try to reach an early peace agreement with then the North Vietnam. And it was either Dean Rusk or Alan Dulles changed the wording so that the Vietnam War continued, and they could have reached a peace agreement during that time. So you have to have people who carry out your interpretation of what you want to do instead of going off on their own on things.
Yes, and that's very well said.
The book that historical incident came from a book written by Dr. Michael Sala, excellent researcher who writes many good books about UFOs and ETs. The second thing that was interesting is that when an American soldier was killed in a car bomb, President Trump abruptly canceled his negotiations with the Taliban. Any updates on that, Simon?
Yes, it's a shame because the media were trying to say that it was because the Taliban were doing this or doing that. The reality is that if Trump had gone ahead with any sort of peace deal or any sort of agreement, then the media would have immediately said, "But they're still killing American soldiers," so. He had no option but to pull the plug. You can't have an American soldier die on Monday and then sit down with the same people on Tuesday and try and make a peace deal. It makes a mockery of it. So President Trump didn't have any choice. He had to pull it because to have gone into any meetings after that would have not only been disrespectful to the families of the soldier that was killed, but the media would have absolutely gone mad. So, what could he do? He had to cancel it.
I think what's going to happen, this is my own gut feeling, Simon, I'd love your opinion on this too. I think they'll come back to the negotiating table after some time's gone on. I think this is becoming a time of peace where war and conflict and fighting is becoming very antiquated. But that's my. I hope they can reach a peace agreement. So I wish them
well. I think they have to, and we've seen that with China. You know, again, the media were saying, you know, America was losing the trade war and
right.
Trump was this and Trump was that. And the reality was, and I did say this weeks ago, mm-hmm. no, America will win it. And, you know, China's come back to the table. And in the same way, this insurgent group, this rebel group in Afghanistan will have to come to the table
right.
because they don't have the resources of the United States. And so if they want a peace deal, they won't get it through the bomb and the bullet. They'll have to get it through the ballot box. And that's what will have to happen.
You have to remember, too, that much of the major U.S. media is controlled by, like, I think six corporations control more than 90% of the mass media in the United States. And with that corporate power, much of it is shared with the military-industrial complex. So they have a vested interest in making bombs, military hardware. So the more conflict in the world, the more money they make. And I hate to say this, but I don't trust the U.S. Mass media in the United States, and they always manage to bias the news one way or the other. So it's not completely objective, and it's not in their interest to promote peace because they don't make money off peace. They make money off war.
Well, I tell you what's really funny. Mm-hmm. I think it's funny. Is that it seems to me that President Trump is the first president that's been attacked by American media while he's still in office. Mm-hmm. If I look back at all the other presidents, they were all at the time praised for how wonderful they were. And then within just a few short years, they were attacking them. I remember when President mm-hmm. Obama was in, mm-hmm. he was a golden boy. He couldn't do anything wrong. Everybody loved him. And now we've only had a few years, and now the truth is coming out. So it's quite refreshing, actually, to have a president where the media is not all sucking up to him and falling over him, because we begin to understand that the media are on message. And with President Trump, they don't like him because basically they can't manipulate him.
Right. And he cannot be controlled either. That's the thing. Yeah. My friends ask me what I think sometimes of President Trump, and I said, well, he can be a mixed bag, but the one thing about him, irregardless, is that he's not controlled. So that can be a real wild card as far
you
as his actions go.
See, Ted, one of the reasons, as many of them, but one of the reasons the media don't like, the U.S. media don't like President Trump, is that he speaks directly to the people on mm-hmm. Twitter. Now, mm-hmm. in the old days, the president would call in his favorite news channels and he would sit down, he'd give them top stories, he'd give them the first break, he'd give them the in news. Now, Trump doesn't do that. Trump ignores them all and he goes straight to the people and mm-hmm. he cuts out the media. And that's one of the major reasons the media are angry.
Oh, I see. Interesting. This is something I heard from my friends in the Galactic Alliance some years ago. The reason why, in the same kind of vein, same kind of argument, Simon, that crop circles occur is that when they can't get through a government or the government starts blocking their messages, they go right around the government and they'll put crop circles in various countries. So people start asking, what is this all about? And they try to send benevolent messages. The benevolents do this anyway. I don't know if you've heard that, but that's what I heard several years ago.
Ted, it's up to me, as far as I'm concerned, it's absolutely true. And I'll mm-hmm. take it a bit further than that.
Okay.
There are groups of people in not many countries, in some countries. Mm-hmm. It's not so prevalent now. When you know, we went through the 31st of December 2012, that was the key turning point. But prior to that, mm-hmm. Benevolent ETs were communicating with groups of people in different countries via crop circles. So what would happen is
they'd
come into a crop circle, they'd get a photograph of that crop circle, and then they were able to decode the message to it. So in other words, a lot of this was anti-government. So the government didn't have the key codes to decipher a crop circle, but these groups of people in different countries did. And so it was one way of a message being sent to people on Earth that could not be hacked by the government.
Mm. That's fascinating. You know, in my conversations with Nostradamus, he has told me that large centralized governments here on planet Earth will become far less important in the future, because most people will know how to act, but there will be a government, but it'll be a smaller government, and their task or their job, main job, will be to interface with extraterrestrials off this planet.
I think what's important is that we've seen a move away from big government. Mm-hmm. We've seen a move where people don't want government sticking its nose into what we are and who we are and telling us how to live. And that's mm-hmm. a real theme that's building. And I think what we need is a government that just enables, a government that just makes things possible for the people, and then the people can go and do it. So rather than telling the people what to do, I believe a government should make it possible so that people can do what they want to do.
Well, that's absolutely true, Simon. And I think most people on this planet want freedom. That's the basic human nature. We want the freedom to ascend, raise our vibrations, and also create a beautiful paradise on Earth. That's what John Kennedy has told me many times, that it's the destiny of this planet to become a beautiful, loving, and kind planet, not one that's full of war and conflict, but one where people live in harmony.
Yes, and a place that where people really appreciate the beauty of the place they live in, yeah. Whether it's their own town or whether it's the countryside or wherever it might be, mm-hmm. for people to really appreciate that how lucky they are. Anyone in America who's doing reasonably well, or Great Britain, think, my goodness, I could have been born in Africa. Could have been born in this place or that place. And, to be thankful for the fact that if you have your health, you're really lucky. If you have a job, you're really lucky. Right. And to make more of it, be more happy. Don't be miserable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Instead of looking at a glass that's half empty, look at one at the glass that's half full of water. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's why I like talking to you, Simon, because you talk about world issues, but you're not a doom and gloomer. You're always looking on the positive side of things, which is good. And I guess that brings me to my next topic. You had a post about Epstein again, and the head of MIT has resigned because of his links with Epstein. Do you think we'll have more of this sort of revelations coming out where Mr. Epstein's associations and his business dealings will come out and implicating more people in government and in politics?
Well, that was very interesting, Ted. I'm just gonna let the cat in, Ted, because it's scratching.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, let's all say hi to Simon's cat now. So that's good.
The official news did on that was basically said that MIT research labs had taken some funding from Epstein's foundation, mm-hmm. and as a result of that, the head of MIT resigned. That's absolute nonsense. There are loads of big corporations and companies that have taken vast amounts of money from Epstein, and they don't resign. And so what I put on my website was that the head of MIT had a very close connection to Epstein, and that's why he resigned. What we're going to find, you're absolutely right, Ted, what we're going to find over the coming weeks and months is mm-hmm. more people having to go down this road because the information is going to come out. So I think it just started. I think it's going to be quite shocking how many people had close connections.
I think November will be a key time. I know free will can change everything, Simon, but I have a feeling the next couple of months, this is September, October, but the next 2 months or so, especially culminating in November before the end of the year, is going to be a very interesting time of truth.
Yes. Yes. I've said 31st of December, 2012, humanity made the choice. It was not going to go backwards.
Right.
What we have now is the new dawn, if you like, mm-hmm. And it's still not clear on what day or what year that dawn will come. But I think we're beginning to get a bit of a roadmap as to roughly when these things will happen because of the changes that are occurring. And regardless of one's politics, the election, not this November, but next November, and who wins that election in the United States will be a pivotal moment for the development of humanity.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I guess this brings me into my next question is about, we've had several questions about, we don't get much information here in the U.S. It's controlled. And, you know, if you want to listen to like sports and the weather forecasts, it's good for that. But beyond that, we don't get a lot. It's, except if you, you know, the cartoon channel is now more popular than CNN. I wanted to ask you about, you know, the Prime Minister Boris, and also what's happening now. There's several different stories coming out. What's going on from your side of the pond there?
Very complicated, and I don't want to bore people with it because it's complicated.
Okay.
Very basically, the old guard who want to keep Great Britain in the European Union have done everything they can to try and keep Britain in. And Parliament's on holiday now for 6 weeks.
Okay.
At the end of that 6 weeks, Boris will have to go to Europe and say that the Parliament of Great Britain wants an extension to the delay bill so that we can't leave Europe too soon. But mm-hmm. Boris has actually said, God bless him, he said he'd rather die in a ditch than go for an extension.
So, oh my God. Be careful what you wish for, you might get it.
Mm. I don't want to go on too much, but what is actually incredible here is that Britain has a traditional history of sorting out its difficulties quietly and behind mm-hmm. the scenes.
Sure.
So it's very American to actually have this fight in the public. Mm-hmm. So maybe Britain's becoming more American, but certainly mm-hmm. from my perspective, I'm very disheartened and sad that mm-hmm. there are so many people who are failing to grasp the concept of the opportunity to leave Europe. I've always been clear. I didn't want to be part of Europe. I felt that it was a deliberate one world government.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
I want Britain to leave. And the other thing, I will go on and say this, because as an ex-politician, then mm-hmm. I can say this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When there was an election, if I won or if I lost, and as long as it was legal and we could see that the votes were legally cast and counted, mm-hmm. I would never go, and nobody would ever come to me and say, I don't think you should win. Let's have a rerun. Let's mm-hmm. have another go at it. You just don't do that, do you?
Right,
you have
no.
an election and you accept the result. But what's happened in Great Britain is that 17 point whatever it was, 1 million, as opposed to 16 million, voted to leave. So there's a majority of about 1.3 million to okay. leave Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So why are people now saying we don't like the result, we want another election?
Right.
This is fundamentally undemocratic. That's the point. And the reason is, Ted, that there are these people who are part of the cabal, part of the deep state, that don't want Britain to leave Europe simply because, and it all comes down to money, Ted, when Great Britain leaves the European Union, every other union country will have to pay more tax.
It's
a simple. Because when we come out, we're no longer paying in to the pot. Mm-hmm. So all the other member states will have to contribute more. And that's the only reason they don't want Britain to leave.
I see. Interesting. I heard this story a couple of years ago from some friends in the UK, Simon, and maybe it was just a rumor, but people got very upset when they perceived that the EU in Brussels was telling people how much electricity they could use to boil a pot of water to make a cup of tea. Did you hear that? That's what I heard anyway, and they were very upset with the tightening regulations.
I think they were talking about time, but they didn't have much effect in Britain. I tell you what did have an effect, though. We had, before this horrible European Union,
right.
we had lots of good farmers in Great Britain. And I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Guys growing apples, so trees growing apples.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lots of farmers, and the British supermarkets would buy those apples. Then the European Union came in and said that an apple had to be a certain shape and a certain colour. They did it with everything. And if it didn't match that shape, then the supermarket was not allowed by law to buy. So what was happening? You had one or two individuals, mm-hmm. not in Britain, obviously, somewhere else, who would then mass market stuff to the supermarkets because they were all about the right size and the right the color. And all the little farmers in Britain were out of business. And I hope that when Britain leaves Europe, all those small families, husband, wife, brother, sister, son, daughter, they'll get back on their feet, and there'll be a resurgence in Great Britain of small families getting into business, providing services back and products back to Britain, because there's no Europe telling them they can't do it. Now, right. I'm old enough, I saw all that. These youngsters, God bless them, who may be in their 20s and 30s, they've not seen what happened. So this country was completely turned on its head, mm-hmm. because the laws were changed. Mm. Let's go back and let's British people become innovators and captains of industry. Why should it all come from Germany and France?
Right. I have friends in Zurich, Switzerland, who tell me that the Swiss government now is trying to work behind the scenes to subject the Swiss people to the same kind of onerous regulations from the EU that they're now free of. They're not, the EU laws don't apply in Switzerland, from what my friends tell me, unless they acquiesce and approve it. But the people in Switzerland, you probably don't hear much about it in the press, are very upset about that development, and they're complaining to the government now that they don't want the same kind of straitjacket on their freedom.
Right, there's an absolute correlation here. It's mm-hmm. because what Europe is desperate now is to try and find more people to pay into the pot. Because when Britain leaves, they want to try and bring someone else in. Now, Switzerland is not going to go in because Switzerland is the bank of the world in terms of proper money. So they'll always want that independence. But what we're finding, I think, is European pressure now, trying to get everyone into Europe. I mean, Britain paid in more than nearly any other country. It's a staggering amount of money that Britain was paying in. And in fact, the joke about Britain in Europe was we were the treasury. They called us the money house or the treasury. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not surprised that other countries are coming under pressure from Europe.
Wow, that's interesting. I want to go back to your earlier comment that in Britain, the people there, the government tends to sort out their difficulties privately and not in a public way. I saw a film last year on Winston Churchill during the summer of 1940, when the Germans were bombing London and other cities. And there were you probably know a lot more about it than I do, but I remember in the movie anyway, they talked about how there was this argument between the Winston Churchill's government and other people who wanted to go in with a peace agreement with Hitler, and other people were saying no, including Winston Churchill, that we can win this. And they started it out, of course, quietly behind the scenes. But that reminded me of that movie and what you said earlier.
It's one of these things where there's a 50-year, what we call a D notice, like the letter D, dog, delta. It's a D notice. There's a lot of this stuff which is not been allowed out in public. Mm-hmm. And it's simply because we think is that some members of the British royal family were trying to get Winston Churchill to do a deal with Hitler. Mm-hmm. And that's not being released publicly because it would do the royal family a lot of damage. My grandfather, after the war, met mm-hmm. Winston Churchill, mm-hmm. and my grandfather was in government. Mm-hmm. And what my grandfather said, in his opinion, was that Winston Churchill was the best leader that we'd had in wartime, but mm-hmm. he was absolutely awful in peacetime. And my grandfather
told
me that he would go into 10 Downing Street, mm-hmm. and one of the other offices, which I think was the Admiralty. I think mm-hmm. grandfather said that Churchill liked the Admiralty. And Churchill had a parrot, a big parrot, which mm-hmm. he called, I think it was Captain. I can't remember exactly now, Captain. And mm-hmm. the parrot wasn't in a cage and it would just fly around the room. And grandfather said it was absolutely impossible to have a conversation with the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, because this parrot would be flying around.
So God.
When you think about Britain, it's this eccentric oddness. But what we've got at the moment is just diabolical. And I'd rather have Winston Churchill and his parrot than the situation we have at the moment.
Well, I don't know why it's so difficult for elected leaders to simply carry out what the people want. I don't know. I just don't. Well, anyway.
Because the elected leaders are all holders of office. They're not holders of power. When I was a city councillor, the correct term would be I held office. I did not hold power. And the difference is that when you hold office, your power is constrained by the office. So basically it says you can do this and you can't do that. Now, when you have power, there's nothing you can't do. But when you have office, it's, well, you can't do that, Mr. President. Oh, you can't do that, Mr. President. Oh, you're not allowed to do that, Mr. President. So people have got the wrong idea about politicians. They actually don't have power. Now, the people who have power are the multi-billion dollar corporations, because they're not representing to the people. So they don't have office. They truly have power.
Right, right. Oh, that's very interesting. I guess that... that leads me to my next question, actually, and I have some friends who are active in the campaign against the new 5G network in Britain. They said that they've gotten, as of last month, 10 city councils to vote specifically against the new 5G network in the UK, based upon the fact that there's a provision in the town councillor law there that if councillors in a town, for example, approve a 5G network and people are harmed or get cancer from the network, that they're personally liable for it. What's been going on with that? Do you have any updates on the 5G situation, Simon?
The greatest success is in Australia. We have a very, very active Connecting Consciousness group. I'm sure many of your listeners know that some years ago I set up Connecting Consciousness, and this Sunday we have our AGM meeting in London.
Wonderful.
We're hoping for about 170 people to be able to attend. Some are coming from America, some are coming from Canada, some are coming I think it's Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
And it's really lovely that people are traveling all that distance just for one day.
Sure.
And we have a very active group in Australia, and they have been able to utilize domestic laws. Now, I think I'm right in saying they've had as great success, something like 5,000 cell masts are having to be taken down.
What? Really? My goodness, that's wonderful.
This is in Sydney. They managed to ban it, 5G in Sydney, in Australia. And we're having some tremendous success because the Australians have a domestic violence law, and we're using that to say that 5G is bringing violence into the home.
Oh, my goodness, what a novel argument.
So we're having some success. And really, to be clever, each group has to use the law in its own country.
Sure.
And all you need is a lawyer who says, "Well, hey, I've got children." They see the scientific evidence and they say, "I don't want my children." And what we're getting lawyers coming up and saying, "Hey, I'll do it for free."
Wow, that's great.
I'll fight space for free. And so in some areas it's awful, because they're just walking like sheep into it, and in other areas they're fighting like crazy. So it's an interesting mix.
I have to tell you, many of my friends who do support President Trump are perplexed by his executive order he signed pushing for 5G. It was a couple of months ago. Does he know something we don't, Simon, or is there something there that I don't know? It's hard to know.
I think his advisors, obviously the president, whoever, has the greatest advisors in the world, absolutely. And the advisors, which are predominantly coming from the military, have made it very clear the advantages of 5G and the disadvantages of 5G. And I know for the last 2 years, he's been looking at how in the United States, the negative part of 5G can be negated. So I'm not at all worried about anybody suffering from 5G in the United States. Mm-hmm. I am more concerned for every other country in the world.
I see. Interesting. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I wanted to tell you, getting back to my trip to Mount Shasta here last week, I just got back last night. We were able to contact the Pleiadians again, and there's an admiral in charge of, there's something like over 2 million of their Pleiadian ships now orbiting the planet, and they're here to help us. But they don't help, of course, until we ask, or as they respect free will. But what I was going to ask, and it's kind of a sort of in joking, but not really in joking, to ask you this question, Simon, but with the increasing vibrations of the planet, and if you want to come to the States at the end of this year or early next year, it might be possible. If you want, I might be able to put you in touch with this Pleiadian admiral, actually. And he might be able to give you a ride in one of his craft from the UK to the States. Would you be interested in that if it could be arranged?
Oh, yes, I'm always interested. And just for your audience's sake, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. because many people will struggle to comprehend how there can be 2 million craft. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who fully accept what you and I talk about will just mm-hmm. shake their head and say, that's not possible. There can't be 2 million. And what I just need to say is that I don't want people to have a concept of 2 million craft all with crews on. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of those ships will be drone ships. These are automatically roboted ships. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a crewed ship which will control a number of these drone ships. So when we talk about 2 million, they're not 2 million all with live crews in. Mm-hmm. They are a large number of robotic ships. And the human race, the higher human races use these. So I just wanted to put that point in, Ted.
I see. Okay, well, thanks so much for telling me that. I know not before last, we went up to the top of Mount Shasta, and we could clearly see, we were able to contact telepathically the Pleiadian admiral in charge of these ships. And it was funny because we asked him to go left, he went left. We asked him to go right, he went right. And then he did a little jig for us in the air. We asked him to come down and visit with us, but he said he was busy on maneuvers that particular evening. And then somebody jokingly offered a beer to him. He said, we have our own libations. We don't drink earth beer. But anyway, it was fun. It was fun to contact him. And I see him in the skies all the time. Once you know what they look like, they're easy to identify.
Yes, I sometimes struggle between a Pleiadian craft and a Lyran craft. Mm-hmm. But for every Lyran craft you see, you'd see 20 Pleiadians. The Pleiadians are far more in your face. Mm-hmm. They're far more, I don't mean aggressive in a nasty way, but they break cover. The Lyrans, who are quite shy and retiring, you won't see their craft so much. But yes, if you've got connections with somebody up there, I could do with a lift.
Okay, all right. I'll ask the admiral for you. And he just came in. He said he'd be happy to do it. He just needs the coordinates. And now listen. Anybody works for the airlines, I don't want to upset anybody with the airline companies, because they'll start losing revenue if people start boarding Pleiadian UFOs from place to place in the planet. But hey, you know, it's just a matter of time before I think this tech – we already have the technology in the secret space program, so I think it's just a matter of time before this kind of technology will be used for transit.
Ted, I mean, you know, even the most sleepy people can begin to perhaps appreciate that when President Trump talks about the Space Force, and sure. now it's in legislation, now it is – an active, a real arm, just as the Navy is. It's right. an active force. And I'm absolutely convinced the whole point about this is that if President Trump wins the November elections, perhaps 2 to 3 years after that election victory, there will be hangar doors opening and then some very interesting craft. But what President Trump will do is he won't say, hey, we've had these for 20 or 30 years, he'll just say, hey, we've had this Space Force for 3 years and we've built these in 3 years. So I think it's a damned good excuse from his perspective to start opening out advanced spacecraft. And then he can then say, we're going to go to Mars in these craft. Mm-hmm. So we already know that humans are on Mars, but what he's doing is he's legitimizing the road to truth. So once you do that, then it's an easy way to say, oh yeah, we've got a base on Mars. Hey, you know the Space Force, which we've had for 3 or 4 years. Well, yeah, we got up there and we did it. We didn't do any publicity. We didn't want to, et cetera, et cetera. So I think what Trump's doing is it's disclosure through a very clever route.
Oh, interesting, interesting. I just got an email from a listener. I'll ask it, I guess. He's asking about the real estate market on Mars. Do you think now would be a good time to invest, or when do you think the market opens up?
Well, I think it's early days yet.
Right.
Just as Arnold Schwarzenegger made his money down with California beach houses,
right?
You want to look for certain people suddenly taking day trips on the Virgin space shuttle when Branson gets it up and running to Mars, and then you know, the real estate office settling up. But you know, listen, that's how markets work. If there's a market, someone will try and do something with it.
Right.
I think Mars will be more appealing than the moon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've heard Corey Good talks about this, that there's actually an atmosphere on Mars that you can breathe, but it's kind of like being about 9,000 feet here on the planet, where it's there's not as much oxygen, but there is oxygen there.
I actually agree with that. I would say it's worse than that. I'd say that the level of oxygen is quite thin. We know a very long time ago there was a most tremendous explosion, which basically stripped the atmosphere off Mars,
right,
and dumped most of the Martian water on the Earth.
Oh.
You know, you look at Mars, and ever since the times of H.G. Wells, when H.G. Wells wrote that book, The War of the Worlds, in 1898.
Right.
And he talks about the canals on Mars, and we've always talked about water marks, but
right,
they had oceans, but that water was stripped with the atmosphere. Large parts of that went to Earth, you know, and we know that it could support life. There's no question of it. Absolutely.
My galactics tell me that there was a war approximately 500,000 years ago, and I'm sure you know more details than this, Simon, but I'll just run it by you. Which between the galactics and the reptilians, and the reptilians ended up blowing up Mars, and not blowing up Mars, I'm sorry, blowing up Marduk, which is a large planet in the current orbital path of where the asteroid belt here is on the planet. So you have all these pieces and parts of this planet still circling around the solar system in that area. And when that planet blew up, the force of that explosion hit Mars, and it ended up tearing off much of the atmosphere and pop-marking one side of the planet.
I can agree with some of that, and then I suppose I've just got my take somewhat different, Ted. In essence, it's the same. It was a Palladian suicide ship that decided that they'd agreed that this outpost, it was a reptilian outpost that was based on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And a reptilian, a Palladian suicide ship detonated some form of advanced weapon. Unfortunately, the information I have is that the weapon was far too powerful than was required.
Mm.
And that explosion literally took off the atmosphere from Mars, or most of it, and the water.
Mm-hmm.
The reptilian base was destroyed, and a lot of the pyramid structures that were on Mars were weathered by the huge sandstorm dust that was created by this. And that's why these structures on Mars look as if they've all run, or they've been melted or weathered. It's simply because of that explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is interesting was that you talk about Marduk. It was a piece of that which at 65 or 66 million years ago crashed into the Earth and destroyed the dinosaurs. Large asteroid was part of the Marduk planet, which is then the Kuiper belt, the asteroid belt. And that's, you know, what caused that. So our history is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And either the elite just don't get it, or they're terrified to tell us the truth.
Hmm. Well, I think this is a time of truth, and I think the truth will come out, certainly eventually. And it's very hard for governments and people to keep secrets nowadays. They keep just coming out all over the place. So, But this is, I think this is concomitant with our ascension into the fifth dimension, which is a dimension of truth, where my friends tell me that in the fifth dimension, you can just read each other's minds, and there's really, you can't really hide anything because it's just there.
This is the absolute point. You've hit the nail on the head, Ted. Mm-hmm. This is the point. This situation with Epstein didn't come out 5 years ago. It didn't come out 10 years ago. It's come out now because human consciousness is outstripping. It's outstripping evil. Evil can't hide things fast enough. Human consciousness is uncovering it. And look at all these bad actors that are being, you know, caught out simply because they're no longer getting away with it. Now, we need to ask ourselves, why in the past did they always get away with it, and why are they not now? And it's not because, unfortunately, the police force have got better. It's the consciousness of humanity that's no longer accepting lies.
You hit that right on the head. Very profound and good answer. Thank you, Simon, for sharing that. That's absolutely right. I just got a question in from Dina. And could I ask it, Simon? We got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, sure. I don't mind.
The question is, can Simon teach us deprogramming techniques to select people so more people can do what he does?
Yes.
It's from Julio with another name. Anyway, it's from Julio.
The answer is yes, I can. Mm-hmm. I've always been very careful. I do have, obviously, clients, and I see them, and there's only one of me. But in order to speed up the work, yes, absolutely. But I can't teach deprogramming in the same way as 50 people could go to a university and they learn it, because unless the person has psychic capabilities to start with, they can't deprogram. There are those people that understand, and you know, they've researched it and they've got that. But when they're working with somebody, they become a counselor. They can't really deprogram because they don't have the psychic connection, and what they've got is they run through sort of a syllabus, they run through an agenda like a counselor would. But that when you deprogram somebody, you actually have to do psychic work to remove the programs. You can't just do a counseling. So, you know, there may be some lovely people who want to do deprogramming. And what they would probably be best off doing is supporting people who have been through a deprogramming, scenario.
I see. Interesting. We've got just under 3 minutes left. I had one quick question. Rosemary from New Zealand, where do the Lyrans live now, and would they take us for a ride?
Ha, bless them. The Lyran home planet was destroyed by the reptilians when they were both in the fourth dimension. So the Lyran home planet was in the fourth dimension, was destroyed. Fortunately, the Lyran people had space travel, and they just left every which way. Their people, their consciousness evolved up into the fifth, and now they're in the sixth. So their home planet's destroyed. But as a people, they are now in the sixth dimension, whereas the reptilians are stuck, trapped in the fourth. So while the Lyrans went from the fourth to the fifth to the sixth, the reptilians haven't moved an inch.
It's interesting, isn't it? We've got 2 minutes left, but just briefly, the reptilians, from what I know, think that they're the end, be-all and end-all of evolution in the universe, but actually they are stuck. I think they're stuck in what's called an evolutionary cul-de-sac in the fourth dimension, so...
We call it the lower fourth.
Lower fourth, okay.
And the lower fourth dimension, whereas the Sirius is in the middle or higher fourth. So there are human groups in the fourth dimension, but they are moving, evolving. It is the lower fourth where we've got a lot of greys, not all of them, a lot of greys, and the reptilians now, which are stuck in demonic forces. And this lower fourth is beginning now to press into our reality as we're moving upwards. They're moving downwards, and we are having a bleed through. And so that's why people are now having these experiences.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Simon, we got about just about a minute left, and I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Well, I wanted to say that we will be filming our AGM Connecting Consciousness in London on Sunday. It'll go onto YouTube. I do hope that people have a chance just to watch some of that. We have 170 people. It is not a conference. It is members coming together to work where the organization goes. I like to hear what the membership says. I want them to feed into me how they think we should develop, how we should go. So those of you who are coming from Canada and the US, thank you very much indeed. Make sure you come and say hello to me. You're going to travel a long way to see me. I'm going to make time to talk to you. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we didn't cover everything, Simon, but thanks so much for coming on today. It's always wonderful to talk to you, my friend.
God bless to you and the listeners.
All right, Simon. And again, happy birthday. Hope you had a good birthday.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye, Simon. Please stay tuned for our next hour. We'll be talking about the miracles that occurred at Mount Shasta. I just came back from last night, and please stay tuned for our next hour. Would you?